I thank you, Lord, for this little time set aside from the world. I pray that you would bless this time in your house. Thank you for safe travels for Link and Frank and Dr. Shang. Please be with the rest of the folks in the church, wherever they are. And bless us, Lord, as we take this time to honour you and learn a bit more about you. We love you and thank you. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Norman was just saying he got good news on that other front as well. So he's a happy man tonight as well. Amen. Right, we're in the wee books. Let's take our wee books and go to hymn number 35. Hymn number 35. Right beside one. And I was just looking, we haven't sung 34 for a bit. There was a while there we were singing it nearly every service, so I think we're going to sing that this evening. But we're going to sing No One Understands Like Jesus, verse 1. Are you okay to read this evening, Bob? Amen. If you're fit, we'll stand as we sing, not just when it's safe.
Let us make a joyful noise as we praise God for all that he's done for us.
Shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and cold from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, at the shadows of a great rock in a weary land. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim, the ears of them that hear shall harden. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirst to fail. The instrument also of the churl are evil. Divide is wicked, divide to destroy the poor, and lie in word even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal divide is liberal thing, by liberal thing shall he stand. Rise up, ye women that are at ease, hear my voice, ye careless daughters, give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, and gathering shall not come. trembling woman, let her at ease, be troubled, you careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the tears of the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. The land of people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the places shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be condemned forever. A joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, the wilderness be a fruitful field, the fruitful field be counted as for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. My people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, the city shall be low in a low place. Let it are, yea, that sow beside all waters, and send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. All right, quick skim through the announcements. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add to the announcements? Just ask if you pray for my dad, John Bradfield. Took a wee turn a couple of days back. Doctor says fine. Haven't said that. I took a wee turn about 3 weeks ago and they did every test they could think to do, and the doctor said I was fine too. Something happened, so please do pray for my dad. He'll be up visiting for a week or two at least, and we'll appreciate your prayers. You'll be seeing him in church anyway, maybe at the odd cup of tea, who knows. The other ones I have, please pray for my brother-in-law Conrad, who had possible heart trouble. That wee girl Jen Asquith that we have been praying for, she's home now, but she's still not. She just had a baby, 4 surgeries, and now she's looking at months of recovery while she looks after a baby, while somebody else looks after her. Please pray also for that wee woman, Liz Stewart, in Altongelvin, that we met there whilst I was in. Please pray for her. For Norman's sister, Edith, she's waiting on the heart specialist in Dublin. For William's brother-in-law, Davin, and the issue that he's been having with a man who's claiming to be a woman. I can think of a rubber room that would solve that problem. And please pray for Lynn and Dr. Shang and Frank as they labour through the awful weather and times in Tenerife. Please do pray. All right. Have we got any private prayer requests? I've got private prayer requests. Good job, Mark. Norman. Any thanks?
Thank God that I've got that thing sorted out. I've been on my mind for 7.5 years, really, at the end of the day. That's where it started. And I am just so grateful that it's over.
Amen. After how long?
Well, it started
2 or 3 years.
Died, and it's
7 years. Back.
It's taken at least 6.5 years for the whole thing to get started.
That's just all you need, hanging over your head.
Yeah.
I can only hope that Mr. Withington gets saved, or at the very, very least, feels the full effect of it hanging over his head for that length of time as well.
Well, I'd be plain simple, and I'm sitting here in church, as the people that destroyed my wife, I have no sympathy for them.
Not at all.
I have no prayers for them because they didn't have to do it.
You need to know something, Mr. Wilson. In the Bible, there were people that gave Paul the Apostle a really, really hard time. And do you know what he prayed? He prayed the Lord reward them according to their works.
Well, I always believe
that's
in
what,
one thing.
That's
go
it.
Around, come around.
Lit by the sword, die by the sword. The Bible is a great advocate of that. You will eventually bring it upon your own head that you've been visiting on other people's heads. But Paul prayed against people too. He prayed against them and said, the Lord reward them according to the works of the Lord. Whatever it is they've been up to in the doublement, the Lord reward them accordingly. And I do believe that. I think that's that. 2 weeks ago, before the American elections, in fact, this time 2 weeks, BLM will be back in the streets. They'll be wheeling them out of the warehouse where they have them stored for the past few months. And there'll be all sorts of shenanigans and carrying on. And we need to be praying for everybody that wants to do the right thing in America. Remember, it was the turning of a head that changed history just about a month or two back. Just the turning of a head changed the way everything is going to go in America. So keep praying for President Trump and those that would be serving with him, and pray for our own country, because Keir Starmer is doing his best to destroy it. He needs to be one of those ones that you pray against. I don't know if Nigel Farage is the man to do the job, but someone who loves his country and is prepared to put everything on the line needs to be brought in to run our country too. So, not to pray about it. We'll pray anyway, and then we'll sing another song. So let's close your eyes and bow our heads. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength. And thank you, Lord, for your word, for the reading that Norman brought to us this evening. And I do indeed thank you too, Lord, for people's faithfulness. And pray you, Lord, that you would reward us as we honour you. That you would bless us as we honour you. You know everything that's coming. I pray especially, Lord, for those things in the future, for President Trump, for America's future, for Britain's future, Lord. I pray you too for Israel, for many helps and blessings, and provision and protection for each and every one of the children of Israel, Lord. And I pray as well, Lord, for the war in Gaza and in the West Bank and in Iran, and against all of those around and about that set their faces against Israel, Lord, that they would be utterly stopped in their tracks. Pray for Russia and Ukraine and the fighting there, Lord, for sense and sensibility to prevail, and for young people to cease dying, Lord, in the pursuit of old men sitting in armchairs, smoking cigars and drinking brandy. I pray, O Lord, for our private prayer requests. I pray, O Lord, for my dad coming down and for his health, for Edith's health, Lord. I pray you too for that wee woman, Liz Stewart, well, her health, Father, and that you would even now speak to her heart. For, Lord, for Keith, and for that other young fellow we met in the car park, and the two women there as well, Lord. For souls everywhere, Lord. For Pat and Steve, for John, for Will and Christine and Marianne, and for Lane and Frank and Dr. Shane, for those that have slipped and slid, Lord. For all those your children, Lord, to be restored to fellowship and to service and obedience. We really do need that, Lord. We need every little bit of help and every single advantage that you can give us. Let us remember that as we go before you in prayer, Father, and pray that you would answer our prayer requests, but more importantly, that we would answer your requests, that we would serve as you call us. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. We pray all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. We are going to sing Jehovah Said Can You. I think it's 34 in the B books. And then we're going to open our Bibles and going to be looking at Matthew chapter 10 this evening. In the meantime, Jehovah Said Can You, number 34 in the B books, will stand as we sing. And there are a bunch of verses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. remember what chapter in the Bible we're in?
Matthew 10.
Amen. Matthew chapter 10. As if I would ever do that. Matthew chapter 10. I was reading this evening, and the only words that came to my mind were train wrecks. Train wrecks. Train wrecks, of course, being the lives of all those that set their faces against God, and not the lives of those that have to wade against that their whole life. But even as I was thinking on that, I was thinking about all the things that has been discovered about the Middle East. The amounts of money that have been poured into Gaza could have made it into a first world country. I think, what was it, $1 million for every house? Everybody could have had $1 million for each of their homes if all of the money that had been put into Gaza had been taken and ploughed into the economy and ploughed into the infrastructure. Instead, they built tunnels to fight against Israel. And they had come off second best. The consequences of that are a quite literal train wreck for that country. And it is exactly the same for all of those that set their faces against the Lord. So, as I was reading this, I thought, you know what? We have to deal with an awful lot of nonsense. Let's read it and see what the Lord said 2,000 years ago we were going to have to be dealing with today. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Matthias, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 sent Jesus forth and commanded, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of their house, the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. The children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men, for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that deceiveth you receiveth me, and he that deceiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Excuse me. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Excuse me, I have a tickle in my throat still. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity to be in your house, to be reading your word and singing your praises. And I pray, Lord, please, that you be one of our number as we take this time away from the world and around you. I love you and thank you. We don't half understand what it is that you have done for us, Lord, or what it is you continue to do for us. But I thank you for it. We look forward to seeing you face to face, Lord, and thanking you face to face. Please bless the folks in the church, Lord, not just Bethel, but the church, all of your children. Point us all in the right direction and give us this day our daily bread. We love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. That seems like a pretty grim reading from Matthew chapter 11. There's a lot of hardships down there, not just for the believer, but for the Jew as well. Especially in verse number 23, where it talks about a great persecution for the Jews just shortly before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this world. I want to really begin at verse number 16, and I want to talk about all of the bother and the trouble that people seem to visit upon believers. And I don't know if you've noticed it at all, but it's almost like there's a serpent ready to strike you if you dare to stand up and speak out for Jesus. In fact, it even calls us to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves whenever it comes to going out into the world, because we are likened to sheep, even as people that hate the Lord are likened to wolves. Now, the thing about sheep is they need a shepherd, and we have that in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great shepherd. We have a God that we're supposed to listen to, and we're supposed to follow, and we're supposed to promote in our lives. That's what sheep do. They follow, and they behave the way the shepherd wants. What way do wolves behave? Whether there's one wolf or whether there's a pack of wolves, wolves behave like wolves. They want to kill. They want to to spill blood, and they want to eat flesh. In other words, their lives are lived totally at other people's expenses, and that is something worth remembering. And I hope you will see that. As we go on, we see the way the world, even now, treats people that love the Lord. We haven't quite gotten to the bit where they are scourging us. They're coming into the church here and they're banking us up and they're giving us a hiding because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's happening in some countries. I think it's even happening over in England where church people who do not like Islam are standing out in the streets and they're getting pelted and beaten up upon by these Palestinian sympathizers. Someone once said, where exactly is Palestine? And somebody else said, it's situated just north of Narnia, in another one of those imaginary countries in the world. But this is what we're talking about, and this is the level of hatred that even contemporary religion has for the Word of God. Even those churches that claim to love God, there are so many pressures and so many attacks coming at them from so many different directions that sometimes they don't even know which way is up. And before they even know it, just like the Jews between the end of the Old Testament and the start of the New Testament, they're pointed in a completely different direction to what they started out in. They started out listening to Malachi and the warnings of the coming again of Jesus Christ, and they end up actually against Jesus at the start of the New Testament. So it's worth remembering. The church and even the governments are going to be completely against the teachings of God. And that shouldn't be a surprise to us whenever we look out and we hear all of this, the laws and these things. You know what the Lord said? Always do and say the right thing. He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. In the very moment that you need it, I will give you the words to say. It will not be you that speaks, but it will be the Holy Spirit that speaks. But some of these things that people are going to find themselves in are going to be no-win situations. The people will be beaten. They will be have their money taken away, and we see that happening now as well. And even put to death for the Lord's sake. That we already have seen that happen over the past 1,000 years. I think during the Inquisition of the Dark Ages, people were tortured and murdered, and their assets were seized by the Catholic Church simply because they refused to acknowledge the Catholic Church itself as the only means of salvation. The next couple of verses 22 and 23 say that we're going to be hated of all men, and it doesn't look good. And the Lord says, now bear in mind before you get disheartened, they did the same to me, and they're not going to do any worse to you, but they're going to try and cause you bother. Sadly, they're going to give you a hard time. And I got to thinking about why. Why is it that people treat God and his followers like that? Is it pride? Is it thinking that they're right no matter what else is going on in the world? Is it that, like in Isaiah 14, people actually believe the lie of the devil that they can be gods in their own lives? I am happy to acknowledge you as God if you can just put another couple of planets in our solar system. I'm not asking you to create a universe. I know God is immortal and omnipotent and omnipresent, and he can do that with a snap of his fingers or with a word that trips off his tongue, universe, a single word that trips off of his tongue. And I'm not expecting you to do all of that, but just put a planet up in the sky. I'm happy with that. Prove to me that you're God. Can't do that. Okay, then, well, call a critter up out of the dust. Even one. Make a wee fly appear in my hand, just like that. Just do it. Put an apple in my hand. Just call an apple into existence. A grape. Something. Just do something that God could do. Like create something from nothing. If you can't do that, forbid even what God said and what the Bible says. If you can't bend reality to your will like God does regularly, you're not God. You're just a Joe Blow like every one of the rest of us. Now, if you do consider the Bible, you have a problem. Because there's God and the things that he says, and then there's you and the things that you believe. And every time these people do to you and I as believers what it is that they do, like, oh, you're a holy Joe. Why would you call someone a holy Joe? If you call a holy Joe, you're actually confirming to him that he's doing everything right according to what he believes. Hey, I must appear to be holy. Amen. Thank you very much. Oh, you're a Mormon. Thank you. I like to talk to people and knock on doors and tell them about Jesus. Or you're a Jehovah's Witness. I like to walk around with gospel literature and put it into people's doors. Those are the things that those people do. And it's not an insult. It's actually a compliment. By treating you the way they do, by treating you and me and all of us that love the Lord the way that they do, all that they show is exactly what road they're on, the broad road that leads to destruction, and what's going on in their hearts and minds. I would love to tell you that there is a way to find out what people are like. Because there is. If you want to find out what people are really like, give them a little bit of power, and you will see what people are really like. Let's have a look at some of our politicians. Keir Starmer. Let's have a look at Keir Starmer. Probably the most powerful man in the country in the public eye. I'm sure there are others like sharks swimming underneath the surface. He's given a little bit of power. What does he do? He steals the Hayden Alliance from the pensioners. Not right? He makes it illegal for anyone to disagree with him. Isn't that right? All these in quotes hate crimes. He steals money from the government purse. He takes bribes from anybody that will literally give him bribes. And then when anybody says, but Mr. Starmer, you're a thief and a liar, and you're a murderer, and you're an anti-Christian, because he has constantly let Islam, Muslims, run riot on the streets of our country without doing a single thing about it. The most violent religion in the face of this world is being promoted in England by Keir Starmer. You give a man a little bit of power and you see what he's really like when he thinks he can get away with it. You give him absolute power, and he just goes crazy. Doesn't matter what he said. He doesn't even keep his own word. He lies, he cheats, he steals, and he kills. With absolutely no compunction. We see that with Keir Starmer. We see that with the likes of Joe Biden in American politics. We see it with the likes of a fellow called George Soros. We see it with the likes of the heads of all of these big companies. Whenever the big media companies, they lie and they cheat and they steal and they persecute anybody that stands up and says, hold on, are we saying you're wrong about that? Or someone that stands up and says, the Bible says you shouldn't be doing that. And they get it. They get so much trouble falling down in their heads. Because what these people believe is so fragile. It's almost like smoke, that it can't stand up to anything. It can't stand up to scrutiny. It can't stand up to logic. It can't stand up to any questions. And it certainly can't stand in the face of correction. And so it is that when anybody has their that believes any of the above, someone comes up and says, hold on a wee second, they will defend that view with everything at their disposal, even with force, to the taking of life. They can't appeal to God because the truth of their claims is shown to be false in the light of the gospel. If it doesn't work in real life without the addition of millions of pounds and many man hours, it's certainly not going to work whenever you're on your own, whenever it really counts, whenever you step off into the endless ages of eternity. And it's certainly not going to stand up to any comparison or any questioning by God's word or a well-versed preacher. And whenever you have someone in that situation, such is our nature, that the presence of the Holy Spirit, whether it is in one of the best preached messages that has ever tripped off the lips of a minister, or indeed a layman, or whether it's in the presence of a little child that claims to be a Christian, it is going to be enough to cause discomfort at the self-reflection that is done automatically by the soul, and it is even going to prick the conscience of that person over their previous behaviour. And because their hearts are so filled with pride and their minds are so programmed to believing that regardless of what anybody else says that they're right, and this affects people, they're going to kill people. Surely not, Pastor. It says so in the Bible. We have seen it around the world. Christians, the people, the one people in the world that stand for what's right and equality for everybody, are the one bunch that will say, that's wrong, that's right, that's wrong. People don't like it. And they will try to stick one on us. Instead of fixing the fundamental failing in their own lives, and even if they get away with everything, they are still the most unhappy, unsatisfied bunch of people in the world. There is no slaying their lusts. You cannot take the space in a heart that is designed to be filled with God, fill it with anything else, and be happy. Only God will fill the missing hole in man's heart. And people lose their lives for this. You look at the Obamas, you look at the Clintons, you look at the Bidens, you look at the Harrises, and you see what they have been up to try and make everyone believe that what they say is absolutely true. You look at the Starmers, you look at the Rishi Sunaks, you look at the Boris Johnsons, you look at the Mark Zuckerbergs, you look at the guy that looked like a hobo that used to run X before Elon Musk got it. You look at George Soros, who has his finger in so many pies across the world, the Rothschilds, these big names that believe they're gods in the little universe that exists between their ears. But as soon as somebody says, but hold on a second, that's not right. Instead of saying, you know what, Pastor, you're absolutely right about that. I'm going to get right with God and start living right and using everything that I have to promote the gospel instead of destroy people's lives. They'll have someone stick a knife in you in an alley or assassinate you on live TV or drag your name through the mud so that nobody believes a single thing you say anymore. And the Lord knew this was going to happen. And here's one of the reasons why the Lord gives you the assurance of salvation. Remember when he said in John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice, and I give unto them everlasting life, and I keep them in the palm of my hand, and no man shall pluck them out. Do you know why God gave us that? So that no matter what any man says to us, they can take our money, our homes, our cars, our clothes, even our lives, and we still are kept in the palm of God Almighty. That's that's one of the reasons he told us that. So that even on our worst day, we're still going to heaven. And even on the best day, the Christ rejected is still going to hell. In fact, the Bible says that the Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. If we were to read on here again, here's what you need to know. The Lord loves you that much, he even keeps a track of the most insignificant thing about you, the number of hairs on your head. That might be a big deal to some hair specialist in some of these companies that's putting plugs in people's hair. But God loves you so much, he keeps a track even of the hairs in your head. He said about the farthings, or about the sparrows, are not two sparrows, are they not sold for a farthing? And not one of them falls to the ground without God knowing about it. And you know what he said? You are worth more than many sparrows. God said, I'll even give you the words to speak. God said, I'll provision you. I'll help you to mount up with wings like an eagle. I'll give you feet like hinds' feet and set you upon your high places. I'll be your lamp, a lamp to your feet, and a light to your life. I'll help you to run through a troop, to leap over a wall. I will give you everything that you need to get you to where you need to be, to do my will. And I will be with you, whether it's through that or through to the end of your life, I'll be there. But here's an interesting little verse that a lot of people don't look at. This is a promise from God to you and me, to everyone that loves the Lord. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And a lot of people think that's just Jesus saying, he's my Father. But it's not just that. That means your needs, even your desires and some of your wants, will be told to God Almighty in heaven, the grantor of our prayer requests. And your prayers will be answered when you are serving God. And if you deny God in heaven, Christian, expect to live a life without any power. I don't want to speak up about God. Oh, God, they've beaten another Christian. No power, no answered prayers, no assurance of heaven, even if you are going. Living your life in fear like a little mouse crunched up in a corner. And it's not your fault. And it's not my fault. It's down to God. The wee verse there, verse 34, it doesn't say, I didn't send you. Think not that I sent you to send peace on the earth. It doesn't say that. It says, I didn't come to bring peace on earth. I came to bring a sword. God came to bring peace between God and man. Because at the end of John chapter 3, it says, for anybody that's not saved, the wrath of God abides with them. God doesn't want that. I don't know if you've ever been angry with someone. It sucks the life out of you. It wears you down. God wants peace with us. He wants to smile. He wants to have joy with us. He wants us to be, I'm going to use the word happy out of context, but you know what? He wants to be happy with us. He wants to have a good relationship with us. But the gospel is always going to rub people up the wrong way. You living for God, being able to put a smile on your face, When in Great Britain the Prime Minister is a communist, when in America the President's a communist, in Canada the President's a communist, in France the President's a communist. The world is literally circling the drain. And we can still smile because we're going to heaven. And such is the power of the gospel that will divide families. No, I don't like it that you're happy when I don't agree with you. I'm happy not whether you agree with me or not, because I'm going to heaven, I'm joyful. Doesn't mean I'm always dancing a jig, but I'm glad I'm going to heaven. And if I can help somebody else on the way to heaven, I'll do it. But you want me to stop speaking to you because it makes you feel bad? That's not my fault. That's your problem. And God will help you with that problem. A lot of people think, uh-oh, that sounds like a surefire way to end up a pauper. A few verses down there it says, look, you might lose your life for my sake, but you will gain everything. In the Beatitudes, it says, we will inherit the earth. And that's, it's mentioned many times in the Bible. Everything else in the Bible that God mentioned is happening just like God said this would. I have no doubt that this will continue. The Lord loves you more than a mother loves a child. You're precious in His sight. And everything that you need, the Lord will supply. And more than that, everything that you sacrifice or lose, the Lord will provide things that are worth hundreds of times that of value. God loves you. And He doesn't want your life and your eternal life to be a train wreck. He wants each and every one of us to repent of our sins and turn to Him as our Savior and to live with Him in heaven forever. I know some days we turn up at church and there's three of us, like there is today. There's only one other time, there's been less than that, and there's been none of us during COVID. We got used to that after a week or two. I would love to have the church full. Now, that's how I feel as a Christian. How do you think God feels as the Father of all Christians? He just wants to have heaven full of people. But He lets people make up their own minds. If people want to live a train wreck, albeit happening in slow motion over 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, God will let them. He's not going to force them to heaven. He's not going to force them to get saved. But if people want to spend an eternity in heaven with them, God is going to dance a jig, if you'll excuse me for saying that most respectfully. There'll be a party in heaven for every single person that turns their life to Jesus. That tells them, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Would you please save me? Be a party in heaven. That's what God wants. And we should want that too. And we should do our bit in pointing people out. Amen. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Does anybody have a hymn that we're going to sing to close? Do you have one, Mrs. Bradley? Norman? Pick one ahead. I'm not giving you any hints.
Our Great Savior.
Which one is that?
You know the tune. It's in the big book.
Our Great Savior.
But you know the tune.
I'm definitely sure I know the tune.
I know you know the tune. Did Norman have one?
No.
Norman deferred to you. 161. Have we sung this before?
You once or twice, you'll know the tune.
Well, I know the tune.
What number?
161. Oh, well, I'm dependent on you for how long.
I'm guilty.
You better see.
Let's give it a shot.
Jesus, Father, friend, voice in mercy, Jesus, Abba, my soul.
Help us always to remember, Lord, to keep our eyes on you, no matter what's going on around us. We really do need you, Father. Please be with our absent brethren, those that have slipped and slid, Lord. Please be with them too. Please bless Israel. Please, Lord, bless all those that love Israel. And please, Lord, I pray, visit those that hate Israel with just exactly what it is that they need. Please save lives, Lord. Please save souls. Pray for Colin too, Lord, as he tries to get home from Ukraine. Pray for good sense for men and women everywhere. We love you and thank you, and we leave these things to your feet, Father, and pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen.